Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you feeling a little better, Kathy?
About 60%.
She's being tortured by paper cuts with some sort of thing. I'm glad you're feeling better. We'll have the broad tongue of the chainsaw this morning outside, speaking sutras to us. That's why we open books and study Dharma texts, is because they give us great lines like that touch us in a way that, you know, maybe if a Dharma teacher had said that, you know, Patrick, you've got to, you know, that chainsaw is nothing but Buddha nature. You've got to get with the program. Listen to that chainsaw like it's Buddha nature. Maybe I would have heard that at some point, but hearing about the long, broad tongue of the mountains and rivers and the valleys and the streams speaking Dharma, you know, kind of goes right to the heart. And we keep our ears half cocked at all times, listening to that long, broad tongue speaking Dharma from all sources. The chainsaw is doing prostrations now and isn't chanting. So I'll, you can listen to my long, broad tongue until the chainsaw gives us its Dharma words. So, I don't know if I'm fully here yet in Sesshin. Just this morning, when I finally got to my seat, I was able to start making a list of all the things I had not performed quite correctly in the first 3 minutes of my sesshin this morning. I actually wrote them down so that I could talk about them. One is, once again, I this morning forgot my trusty kotsu, which is nice to have in a formal event such as this. Opening the Zendo formally. And I think it's so beautiful. Rob made this for me when I was transmitted, and I just think it's so beautiful. I like holding it, and yet it wasn't on my mind as I left my grass hut over in the corner. When I was making my Jundo, I had in mind how to sneak in, how close to get to the corners all the way around, see if I could just hit the backs of everybody and not go into the corners. And with that in mind, I completely forgot to bow to the Shuso and to the Ino. So let me bow to you now. I was thinking about something else. And then before the service, I wanted to make sure that the evening chants weren't on top of the chant books. so that people wouldn't be confused by, you know, the two different things. And, you know, my robe was already on, so I know I could just pop up and scoot them off. So that was on my mind, and I did it. I found just the right moment that I wouldn't bump into Shuso or Patrice, who was here. I was very proud of myself. And then when I came back to my seat after service, I realized that, gee, my cushion is still pushed against the wall and as flat as a pancake. You know, I didn't even get up from my cushion in the way that is our family style. So, you know, what makes us not forget to bring our whole, to bring our whole selves to this moment, especially for us meditators who taste such a great flavor, a great nectar is what I was calling it yesterday, when we can sit here and bring our whole selves to just this moment. Why is it so easy to forget that taste of the nectar? On the Jindo, I'm aware that it's really quiet, and people don't always hear coming around. I mean, it's not like you see us coming around the back of you, and I'm aware that you don't always hear us, So, I think by the time I got to the Eno, I was very proud that if I didn't see people put their hands up, I would slide my feet to make some noise. And I thought, gee, what a great idea. Why didn't I think of this before? I was just so loving that. Actually, then by the time I got to the end of the time, I was giggling that maybe I should just wear flip-flops. then people would hear me. I just thought that was a great idea. And then another confession. There won't be enough time to do enough bows for this one. I was at Tassajara for 3 whole months. And not once did I raise my hands when the Shuso came behind me. I wasn't even aware of it. I don't think if somebody told me about it in the orientation, like we try to do in our orientation, it was something that just went right through my head. And we didn't have that practice here before I, went to Tassajara. And I think like in the last week or something, somebody was telling me about it. And I said, what? That's been going on every morning? I knew about the doshi going around. But so too that Shuso, 108 bows, I owe you. Yeah, it was a Kokyo. I mean, he should have scuffed his feet. it's really easy. I was sitting right across from you. I'm sitting 6 feet away from you. But if there was ever anybody that you saw that didn't put up their hands, I was that person 108 times. We'll schedule those bows, because I can't do them all at once anymore. 98. Yeah. 98, okay. So what... It's... You know, what... Why does sort of the next moment of shuffling the cards, why is that so much more interesting than just being completely here in the body? completely engaging with people that you love and respect. When we're doing it, of course, we love it. And when we think about it, we love it. And yet, it's so easily forgotten for something, you know, that might be interesting, might save a little time in the future, or mulling over something in the past, the way sometimes our meditation can go for 40 minutes or 80 minutes or 120 minutes of mulling over something that occurred a day or a week or a childhood ago. It's so easy when we know that great taste of just abiding completely in the here and now. I think that's, partly our ancient twisted karma, my cat is quick to go to distraction at any little leaf that falls or any little noise that pops up outside. He's kind of quick. He's looking for their distraction at all times. And I was talking to somebody yesterday about this British show that I like, and he or she liked it. I can't remember who, but there's a sloth in it. And you know, that sloth doesn't move at all. It's just there every moment. And us humans are someplace in between. You know, we're pretty quick to move away into distraction, move away into a great idea that we'll enact in the future or mull over something in the past. We're someplace in the middle. I think that's just the karma that our generous practice says brings us back to this moment, reminds us of all the time. You know, something in our life, you know, hearing, there's flip-flops that can remind us to come back to the present moment all over the place. So we come back to that moment and we go, ah, that's the taste. That's what nurtures me right now. That's all I need, is just to be here fully. And of course, we are getting, we have the opportunity in these 7 days to really get accustomed to that sweet nectar of the breath that is nurturing us period after period, and we can continue that taste in our mouth as we wash the dishes, as we do kinhin to the teaching of the chainsaw, as we clean the zendo, and then far beyond, as we get home next week and are engaging with the people in our lives and cooking our meals and going shopping. We have the opportunity, moment by moment, to act out of that, from the nutriment of that nectar that we've been tasting all week long. lot of people say that, you know, our practice here is the, as Suzuki says, the tranquility of daily practice. A lot of us sit regularly, maybe not daily, but I think a lot of us here sit regularly. And we say, you know, when we don't sit, there's something is just not quite so settled. The day, I can tell when I'm far away from practice. That's, so a lot of us speak about being nurtured in just the way this body and mind needs to be nurtured by our sitting. The nectar that we taste or smell or breathe is just the nutriment that fuels us, that allows us to hear the teaching of the chainsaw or the cash register or the gas pump, all of those teachings are because we're fed the perfect meal. And yet we forget, you know, maybe like surfers, you know, we like the thrill of the fast ride along the surface, and we forget the cool calmness of the deep, deep ocean. I say this having, you know, never surfed an inch in my life, and I know surfers that really do describe it as something that they need, that's a spiritual practice, and maybe that's the whole works for them, is that they are remembering that, gee, I'm on this gigantic force of nature, and I'm just totally unified with it. So maybe there's a whole school of surfers that have that practice. They aren't forgetting. They're not just there for the ride. You know, if I had Thanksgiving dinner waiting for me at home every day, would I ever eat fast food again? Would I say, no, that's quick and easy, but I want to settle into that great meal. Of course, our practice is when we've tasted that great meal, you know, that's what fuels us, and we say, oh, you know, this fast food is shining the Buddha light of that same Buddha light as that Thanksgiving dinner. I can, now that I'm paying close attention, I can see the light there as well, because I've gotten the nutriment that I need, and so I know that all of these other nutriments, they have the same Buddha light. As long as I can settle into this other meal with some regularity, I can really hear the teaching and be nourished by any meal that's offered me or that I go in search of. That's our teaching. If only I could remember that, and of course that's my intention as a practitioner. I think the taste the nectar of our sitting is subtle, and takes a little remembering, and I'm remembering the conversation Monday morning of we were trying to describe the taste of umami, and you know it's a real thing. There's a organ on our tongue that knows exactly what it is, and yet you know we can just glance at it. It's inconceivable. You know, we came up with some great lines. You know, it adds richness to everything. It sort of integrates flavors. There's an earthiness, you know, but you know, what is earthiness? If we said it's not dirt, you know, we'd hate, and that's earthiness. But you know, so all we could think of metaphors for it, but we couldn't really land on it. But we all know when we taste it, we say, "This is a meal. This is a real dish." So we can't really land on it, but we can abide in it. And we have the opportunity here to really get to know the deep flavor, the original flavor of our life, so that all of our actions come out of that meal of our sitting over and over again. That we're fueled, this body has just the fuel it needs, moment after moment. And I want to one of our contemporary teachers was talking about forgetting, why we forget. Her name is Melissa Myozen Blacker, and she teaches in Massachusetts. And she's using the image of Nanchuan killing the cat, that koan, to sort of talk about why we forget. The koan is Nanchuan, the priest Nanchuan found monks of the Eastern and the Western halls arguing over a cat. He held up the cat and said, "Everyone, if you can say something, I will spare this cat. If you can't say anything, I will cut off its head." No one could say a word, so Nanchuan cut the cat into two. That evening, Zhao Zhou returned from outside, and Nanchuan told him what happened. Zhao Zhou removed the sandal from his foot and put it on his head and walked out. Nanchuan said, "If you had been there, the cat would have been spared." So no one could think of anything to say. Maybe they were frozen. Maybe they were horrified. maybe it was too hard to think about the cat being beheaded right in front of them. For a lot of reasons, they didn't say anything. And we know a lot of reasons why we might not say something. And afterwards we go, why didn't I say something? Why didn't I just step up and point it out? It would have been easy. I would have been nice. It wouldn't have been a confrontation. You know, all the things that I might fear about saying something. So we all know about, ooh, there's a cat being killed in front of me. Should I say something? What is that? What is that cat? Myo Zen. I had been standing by while a cat was going to be cut in two, and I said nothing. I was focusing on all the positive steps I was witnessing in social and political life. The election of a black president, the legalization of gay marriage, and the presidential candidacy of a strong, intelligent woman. Meanwhile, young black men were still being gunned down by police officers. Global warming had reached the point of ecological crisis. There was rising unemployment and deaths from opioid addiction throughout the country. Cities were in crisis. Sexism, racism, and gender bias continued to inform the views of many people. And wars, famine, and violence filled the lives of people all over the world. Turning away from this suffering had become a habit. So, whether we have a predisposition to get distracted by something else, to easily move from one thing to another, whether we consciously or unconsciously avoid looking at things, our practice is a moment by moment to bring the whole works to this moment. And engage with this moment, with wholeheartedly is another word, you know, with our hearts open, shining the light on all that there is in this moment. I think if Myo Zen were here, she too would say that I can't shine the light on everything. That was a huge list that she was able to come up with. But the practice is with the whole works, with our heart open, with the flavor of vast consciousness. What is that flavor? The flavor of our Buddha nature, always, always in our mouths, filling our mouths, filling our speech, fueling our bodies. We're then with this very flexible mind to turn fully to one thing or another as it arises, to give support to others who might focus their attention more fully there while I focus my attention fully here, feeling that connection between all beings and their open hearts and their Buddha nature, such that that our hearts and our eyes and our ears are open to the teaching even of chainsaws, much less the teaching of suffering beings. So we have that opportunity to bring our full attention to this moment, not only in these 7 days, but over and over again in our lives. Bodhidharma says that this is one of the four practices of the path, one of the four practices that keep us on the path. And it's appropriately called practicing the Dharma. I'll paraphrase liberally. The Dharma is the truth that all natures are pure, that everywhere we turn is nothing but Buddha nature, is nothing but that pure umami taste that nurtures us completely, that teaches us completely everywhere we turn. And we see that in all appearances. He says just this, those wise enough to believe and understand this truth are bound to practice accordingly, according to the Dharma. So it's a great truth to abide in, but it is the fuel that we act with in the world that allows us to not turn away, that fuels our thousand arms and hands in all directions. And Bodhidharma says, this is our practice. This is our practice to know the truth of Dharma and to allow that truth to fuel our actions in the world. Maybe I'll end right here. May our practice allow us to taste the cream of the long river and fuel our Rohatsu Sesshin and fuel the actions in our life. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them.